with Darren and Justin.
Second hour here on this Monday afternoon. We're rolling right along. This is fast.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Darren McFarland, Justin McFarland, Ray Dosky. I keep wanting to say behind the glass. I got in that
it's
habit
muscle memory, man.
For a long time of behind the glass.
Because for years, producers were behind the glass.
But he's not behind the glass.
No.
He's just in the room with us. It's a big room.
Which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Feels more like family.
We don't have to throw anything at the glass to get his attention.
It's not like he's in the
Who
penalty box,
Who hasn't done that?
Right?
Oh.
Yeah, like 2 minutes for Ray. Slashing. Let's go east. Let's bring in Vince Ferrara, who is our second ever guest on the McFarland Show. 99.1, the sports animal there in Knoxville. He does a great job covering all things Vols. We look forward to his discussions with us every Monday and Friday. We'll react to what happened over the weekend. We'll get you ready for the weekend on Fridays. We don't have anything to react to today, so let's just chat. Vinny, how you doing?
Vince comes in second. Story of my life. Great to be on with you.
Wow. You said it, not me. I didn't say that. That was you.
Hey, it is what it is.
let's start with a caller we had last hour from Ohio asking why the Buckeyes aren't getting more love. So I want to start with your thoughts on Georgia basically sleepwalking for 3.5 quarters in Columbia, Missouri. And is there cause for concern, or was that just one of those deals where they just had an off night and they weren't very good and they found a way to still come up with a victory and they move on to next week? What do you think?
You know, typically, Darren, when there's one sleepy performance, you're kind of like, yeah, they weren't really interested and they can talent their way to an easy victory. And that happened against Kent State. But when it happens back-to-back weeks, it makes you pause a little bit. Here's the thing. They got a little bit in the bank, right? This Georgia team, along with Alabama, they've looked so good. I think they got a little cushion to work with before we start you know, hopping teams over them or Alabama. One to the other, that's fine. You can flip-flop them. I don't care. Those two teams look like the two best teams. Now, I think Ohio State is the three. I think they're kind of on their own level. But I'm not ready to hop them. I have to see them at Georgia continue that beyond two games before I'm hopping anyone over them.
If Ryan Day and Greg Schiano would have scrapped on the field on Saturday, would Knoxville, they would have been rooting for Ryan Day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were rooting for Ryan Day, like, on whatever device or TV they were watching those clips of them getting out.
No doubt.
But that late hit was ridiculous.
It was.
And coaches get so caught up on the third and, you know, up 39 and fake punt and all this. Make sure your team isn't down 39 and then let's talk. I that whole sensitivity stuff to me on that level outside of high school or kids sports, I don't want to hear it. And so I know Day sounds like apologize and stuff, but yeah, they would have been leading the Ryan Day fan club for sure.
So what do you think quickly, and we'll move on for Georgia came out of the gates. They ripped Oregon apart. They're ripping everybody apart. And then, like you said, they have this weird game where they give up 22 points at home to Kent State. And then they barely got past Missouri. In Columbia, they've got a big one at home in Athens Saturday afternoon. It's a CBS game against Auburn. If they don't beat Auburn, something's really wrong. Or if they squeak by Auburn, Auburn's got all kinds of issues. What do you think? Yeah. They can't run the ball very well. How different do you believe, sitting here today in early October, is this Georgia team than last year's Georgia National Championship team?
See, to me, they looked even better early in the year because the offense looked even more dynamic. So they were running the ball or throwing the ball, and it wasn't just against Oregon. It was they dismantled South Carolina as well. So I think the it's TBD, and here's why. It's because Missouri, they were getting in Stetson Bennett's passing lanes. Shorter quarterback never looked like it's been an issue for him or not very often, and Missouri made it a problem. And I didn't think Georgia was committed enough to the run game. I think they have some good backs there, but I think they threw the ball too much. So I want to see those things kind of play out. Did that set the blueprint for other teams to be able to slow down Georgia, and then you get them into some tight spots? We'll see. They still have so much talent. I'm still leaning towards them figuring it out, but a little bit more pause than I did early in the year when I thought no drop-off whatsoever.
I watched LSU come back. Auburn jumped out 17-0 to LSU. I mean, like I said, Auburn's got all kinds of issues. LSU gets the win. They haven't lost since the squeaker they lost opening week down in Tallahassee to Florida State or wherever that game. I don't remember if that was a neutral site game. I don't remember where that game was. Anyway,
Orlando, I want to say.
Yeah, that sounds right. I wasn't overly impressed with LSU. I know now they're getting a little bit of injury bug as well. So when you see LSU right now through five games and a 4-1 record, what do you see?
Well, I see it. Certainly an imperfect team, a team that Brian Kelly is trying to make the most of, that has perhaps its most talented player that isn't even being a difference maker for them right now in Bouti. They're talented freshman, but preseason All-American wide receiver. I mean, that guy is crazy talented, headed for the NFL. And they're doing it sort of despite him. I think that Brian Kelly's getting a lot out of this team. They still have talent. I don't think they have a ton of depth. The transfer portal did help them, especially in their secondary. I think they ended up with their best option at quarterback. But he's been banged up multiple games. So they drop off if it goes to Nussmeier from Daniels. So, yeah, the slow starts, I think that's concerning. But I think you got to give them credit, too, for coming back from down 13 to Mississippi State, who is a pretty good team, and then running away in that game. And, by the way, Daniels is banged up, like bloody head, face, eye area, and he still was able to lead them to that comeback win. And then they're obviously down 17 against Auburn. Again, bad team, why are you down 17? But then if the narrative that I've heard some people say, well, they don't really play hard for Brian Kelly. I don't see that. I see them playing hard. I think they have some deficiencies. They don't have the stud first-round draft picks in bulk like Georgia and Alabama do that LSU used to. But I think Brian Kelly's going to get that. He's just making the most out of this team. So I think those are kind of positive signs that they're doing it without – everything working in their favor. They're still finding ways to win games. So we argued about this on our TV show that I do on Sunday mornings in rotation, and everyone was looking at it as, like, I think a lot of the Tennessee fans look at that game, you're like, oh, Tennessee's gonna rout them, and Tennessee fans feel better about that. You brought up Georgia, I think Tennessee fans feel better about that. Bryce Young hurt at Alabama, Tennessee fans feel better about that. So it was a winning weekend, I think, for Tennessee fans, even though they didn't play. But I would caution that, you know, Tennessee has struggled against LSU, and I know that doesn't always matter, but it's a tough place to play, and that LSU team, if they get down early, they're not going to flinch. They're still pretty tough and resilient.
Well, at least it's not the night game that everybody talks about. You're getting the 11 a.m. start there on Saturday.
Right.
Vince, I wanted to ask you about the temperature there in Knoxville.
A lot more sober people will be at this game.
I would think so.
If it was at 7
than the night. Than the night game there in Death Valley at that point. I want to ask about the temperature there in Knoxville, and I don't mean the air. I mean among Vols fans. Here we are, 4-0. They're in the top 10 in both polls here. Everything is looking nice and shiny. What is considered, beyond this week, what is considered a successful season right now in the mind of a Tennessee Vol fan?
Bummer, Justin. I was getting ready to tell you about the air temperature here. and I was all ready to go for that answer and have a winning one. But it's beautiful in upper 60s right now. But
yes,
I think it's starting to – The the excitement was already, I think, pretty high. And I think even after this weekend, after beating Florida, I think it is elevated. But it's not unanimous. Tell you what, we do a Sunday morning call-in show. Jimmy Himes and former Vol Tim Irwin. There's a long-running show, 20-plus years, Sunday morning reaction call-in show. And I was driving out. Actually saw Darren that morning. I might have even told you this, Darren, when we saw you later that afternoon in Pigeon Forge. So I'm listening to the show, driving out to Pigeon Forge. And based on all the callers, you would think Tennessee just took an L to the Florida Gators. The way everyone was calling in and complaining about the defense and Tennessee coaches weren't aggressive to run out the clock and keep the ball away from Florida and those kind of things. So that tells me also that the standards have risen definitely from when Josh Heupel got here and definitely from when we were going into the season. So what are the expectations the rest of the way? I think the expectations are the floor, I think, for a lot of fans now is a 10-2 regular season. Like I think for a lot of fans, they'll understand a loss to Georgia and Alabama. They want to see it more competitive. But I think they'll be crazy mad if Tennessee loses at LSU. I had Tennessee 9-3 going into the year with losses to LSU, Georgia, and Alabama. It's right on track. I haven't seen anything to change that for me. I think maybe some of the more realistic and conservative fans might still be in the 9-3, but I think a lot of people have talked themselves into, I've already heard it, talked themselves into a Tennessee win over LSU, and then let's see what we can do against Georgia and Alabama.
So this team doesn't have to get to Atlanta, and I don't mean against Georgia. I mean for the SEC championship game. That's not where Vol fans are. They don't have to get to Atlanta for this to be a successful year.
No, not yet. Now, obviously, there's some that once you get close, if you don't get there, then yes, they're going to be upset and be vocal and that kind of stuff. And you guys know how it is in sports. Once you start, and Tennessee fans are the poster child of
that. That's Butch Jones. Butch Jones knows it all too well, right?
Yeah. And what happened the last
minute you,
time?
Yeah, Tennessee you're right. You have to get better, right? You cannot have the dip after you have the successful season, and that's the tricky hard part, especially in the SEC for a coach.
Absolutely. And then you can't have dips that same year where you accomplish things. The last time this Tennessee program was this good was 2016. That was that Butch Jones year. Yeah. They had a top 10 team then. That was the Hail Mary, the win at Georgia. And then what do they do? They had the double overtime loss to Texas A&M, and then they went and lost to South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And then the Jalen, Hurd thing started, and then, it unraveled after that. Then you lose to bad teams. Like, you can't beat someone that's perceived above you and then lose after that. Now, here's the difference. This Tennessee team under Josh Heupel, they don't have any sort of track record of playing down to their competition and or playing up. Like, I think they've pretty much been on as they are on paper. They were competitive against both Georgia and Alabama for three-ish quarters last year. I think there's going to at least be an expectation to maybe make those even closer. But if you beat one of those, then you can't go back to 10-2 and 9-3. Then it's Atlanta or I'm really mad and I'm screaming on sports talk radio shows. So, yeah, everybody's got kind of their own meter. But I think overall, it's still 10-2 regular season would be a three-game jump in year two at Josh Heupel with Nico Iamaliava, the five-star that's got everyone crazy excited coming in next year in the signing class. If that plays out, then you're really cooking in terms of expectations. But I think for the most part, Justin, they would be okay, successful season. 10-2 regular, and then, of course, all fans assume a bowl win, even though they don't know who they're playing yet.
10-2, a peach bowl or maybe a sugar bowl or something like that. A non New Year's Day, maybe
or,
that is a New Year's
or
Day.
Or as in Florida, they love to go to Florida.
Well, so that's
Tampa, Jacksonville, Orlando, one of those bowls, whatever they're called. Finish up with this, Vince. The week off, did they get some much-needed banged up players? Do they have a chance of getting them back? What's the status on Tillman? Like, kind of where are they at on that front?
Well, I think outside of Tillman, I think they did get a lot of guys healed up. Hooker is part of that. Offensive lineman, Jerome Carvin today, we talked to him. He said, man, it came at a perfect time. He said, we feel refreshed. It was great, but we're ready to rock and roll now. Let's go. As far as Cedric Tillman, what it did is it allowed him to have a procedure, which has been talked about a lot. Jason Swain from our station had it. Chris Lowe had it. This procedure, the two has had several times. And what it does is it speeds your recovery up on high ankle sprains and allows you to get back quicker. His status, according to Hypo, who at least confirmed the surgery today, he said he was pretty limited today, did move around a little bit, but we'll evaluate him later in the week. I would honestly be surprised if Cedric Tillman plays. That's still pretty soon to come back after that procedure, even if you're speeding up the process. So I think he's, even though it's not official, I think he's probably more in the doubtful category, but we'll see. And then they lost Warren Burrell. He announced today that Warren Burrell had surgery, upper body, and got banged up in the Pitt game. He was a starting corner last year and was a starter some this year too. And he's out for the year with that surgery. So those two, not necessarily good news, but I think a lot of other guys, they got healthy. And let me say one other quick thing. Justin, you mentioned the day game as a break. LSU, in day games since 2010, they are 20-2.
Jeez.
19 of those 20 wins have come against SEC opponents. 11 of those have come against top 25 teams. They're 50-10 in the same stretch in night games, which is obviously very good too. That 20-2 record, that started with the Tennessee extra man on the field with Derek Dooley.
But Vince,
16-14.
Vince, to be fair though, those 20-2 have probably come against teams like Kentucky or maybe Vanderbilt or, you know, Arkansas, opposed to Texas A&M, Alabama, and Auburn, who have probably come in there for those night games. Maybe they've run across some of those 10 losses there, because those are the more likely primetime games that the networks would want.
Well, the 330 CBS, I think, would be included in that, and that's probably where the 11 top 25 wins are, and this is all at home, by the way. However, what I don't know, I haven't researched yet, is how many of those day games were the 330 CBS or 230 local versus 11 a.m.
Yeah.
So maybe that, I think that's to your point. That's where they probably loaded up on Kentucky pre-Stoops and Vanderbilt and some of the other Mississippi State before Leach and some of that. So that's, I think, where it can be a little bit of a deceiving number, but it's still at least SEC competition and not a bunch of FBS.
Yes, sir.
I know they said this in the award-winning movie, if you ain't first, you're last. We don't subscribe to that. It was a good line in the movie. We don't believe that. Vinny, thank you for the visit. Shake and bake, all right?
Thank you, sir.
All right, great to talk to you guys. Congrats on the new show. I know you guys will crush it, and I look forward to talking to you guys often.
All right. Thank you. Vince Ferrara, 99.1, the sports animal. Wanted to get a little Talladega Nights in here. Just had to work that in there.
Slide that in.